Hi there, everybody. This is Armand DeMille with you at The Positive Mind here on WBAI. 99.5 FM on your dial. Bringing you ideas, concepts, and guests to help you lead a more positively minded life. And today, well, today I'm back with you. Yesterday, Bernie Starr took the show over, and he interviewed someone he knew for a long period of time. They talked about some interesting stuff about stereotyping and psychoanalysis, but it was not The Positive Mind as you know it. Every now and then, huh? But let me tell you, we have some exciting programs coming up for you over the next month. There is stuff that we have, which we'll try to give you advanced warning of. That is just amazing. Some remarkable programs. Today, I want to continue a conversation we started on Tuesday. And an exploration about Tuesday, because here's something that's quite radical. It's a question that came out of my very first Skype, S-K-Y-P-E, telephone consultation that I ever did. Someone in San Francisco who listens to our program and I had a session on Skype. It was great to look at them and have them look at me. I've done many telephone consultations, but this opens up the whole world now. I could have consultations with people all over the world. It's great. So the nice thing about it was she asked a very important question. She said, you know, she asked about sane relationships. And this is a question that so many people ask about. What is a real relationship like? What is it like? Now, on Tuesday, we talked about safety and trust. We talked about this basic element of trust that I believe all humans have, that there's a little door inside of them, that they have this spot where they need or feel a desire to open up the door, but mostly everybody is alone. Everybody is private. Mostly everybody has a private spot that nobody gets into. And the question was, do you find a way to open that door? Now, the more pathological you are, the more disturbed you are, the less trust you have in life. Of course that makes sense, right? If you believe that people are going to hurt you, you can become paranoid. If you believe that there are dangers in the world, you could become obsessional. You could become compulsive. You could become any number of things, the more danger you believe there is in life. So we look and we try to find a way to mitigate the essential sense of danger that we're born with and that was part of our becoming an animal or becoming human. We talked about the amygdala and how the amygdala houses this source of energy that triggers a sense of danger that we might have, and when and how does that amygdala relax? Well, here's where the question is. It seems to relax when we feel bonded, when we feel connected. The more disconnected we feel, the less safe we feel. Now, there are many people who feel safe in their own basements. They feel safe in their own caves. They feel safe by closing out the world completely. That's one kind of safety. That's safety, but it's like a safety underground. It's like a safety, but you can't be safe in the world. And then there are other people who feel safe in the world. Now, here's a very interesting image that comes to me. You ever see somebody who's in love for the first time, and they're walking down the street, and they're smiling, and they're afraid of nothing? What is that feeling? It's almost like being in love. It's that expression, it's that feeling, because for that moment, that person feels safe on the planet. They feel connected. They feel connected by a thing called love, romance, the initial interaction. Now, we scientists can look at that and say, you know, it's all those chemicals that take place right at the beginning phase of a relationship during the honeymoon. The person will have, you know, a certain amount of oxytocin and a certain amount of dopamine, certain amount of other things going on, all of these nice feelings that take place that make you feel safe, wonderful, at home. You found your place. If love or a relationship has the power to do that, even on a temporary basis, then maybe humans are always trying to find that safety through relationship. Maybe that's the idea. You know, it's something I was talking to some soldiers one day. And I said, what about the army? And they said, safe. You got your buddies. You got your connection. Your back is covered. You know, most important part about being in the army, your buddies. Now, that's very interesting. I mean, being connected makes you feel safe. More important than being married? Well, different than being married, because with marriage and with sex and love, we get a different kind of thing. But who do you trust? You trust your buddy. You trust your wife? Well, you know, you trust her somewhat, but she's got her own personal interests. Who do you trust? You trust your buddy. You trust your sister, you know, if you're a woman. You trust your family. This leads me to the question about what a relationship really is. Another person I was speaking to today said, you know, I know about 9 or 10 people who are in very happy relationships. And the unfortunate thing is when I look at very happy relationships, I think about them somewhat, and I see very, very, very few. Now, when I say happy relationships, I mean people who feel really connected, happy to see each other when they walk through the door, they greet each other, they want to talk to each other, they want to share things. I see very, very few people who are like that. Once the children are there, it's almost automatically gone, because the relationship is mainly to the children and through the children. The relationship between the two people, how do you keep it going? What does it take to keep a love alive? Or is there such a thing? That's our question today, my friends. Big question, don't you think? What is a relationship? Does a relationship have an assumption? Is that other person supposed to fill all your needs? It's so scary sometimes to be on the other side of a needy person. It's so scary. I mean, some people, you know, they just rebel against it automatically. If you're needy, I don't want to be anywhere near you. So there are times that you may feel needy. Right? The person you don't want to be near is somebody who's got an aversion to neediness. That's not the kind of person you want to be around, because they just can't stand. It's almost like they want to get rid of you. It's almost like they don't want you around. Yet, what's it like to be human and have feelings and have needs and to be with somebody who doesn't necessarily feel that way? You know, maybe somebody who could take it all the way without feeling that the need is their obligation, that your need is their obligation. So here's a question we have. In a real, honest, open relationship, if you show yourself completely, does it put an onus on the other person? Does it make the other person have a responsibility to respond? Tell you a story about my friend Bill. Many years ago, I had this feeling about something, and I went to my friend Bill, and I said, Bill, I feel really sad about something. And he said, oh, yeah. He said, let's look at this cabinet we're supposed to build. I said, Bill, I just told you I feel bad about something. And he said, I got mad at him. I said, you just ignored me. And he said, look, Armand, just because you have a feeling, do I have to treat it like a gem? He says, it's your feeling. Of course, this is a man who never treats any feelings like a gem. But he made a good point. Just because you feel it, does the other person have to respond to it in kind? This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. Many of you have struggled during your relationships. Many of you have tried over and over again to make a relationship work. It is very difficult. It is very difficult to make a relationship work when you are not hiding, when you are being yourself, when you are letting the other person be themselves, it is very difficult not to react with defensiveness and stuff. You know, it's like at the beginning, it's easy when you have all the beginning passion and the newness and the relationship. But later, that's when it gets really rough. You know, and now we're going to talk more about it. And of course, we're going to be talking to you, everyone. In a relationship, what do we have? I mean, when you just think about the definition of marriage, and I'm going to use marriage just because of the words they use, love, honor, trust, support, till the end of our days. I mean, they made this stuff up when people lived to be 36 years old, you know what I mean? I love you until death do us part, forsaking all others. I heard someone recently say the definition of falling in love is finding somebody to watch you die. They said when you fall in love with somebody and you form a relationship, it's like that person's going to be with you forever, and one of the other one is going to watch the other one die. It's quite a gruesome thought, but it's an interesting concept. I'm going to watch this person die, or they're going to watch me die. You know, long-term relationship. So let's go back to the concept of romantic love. Partaking, is it an idea? Is it something that we're supposed to have? Is love supposed to be the kind of thing that two people share? Of course, everybody has their rules. Your mother's going to tell you what love is, but she didn't know. Your father didn't know what love was, most of them. They're going to tell you respect. They're going to tell you friendship. They're going to tell you things. But I tell you, friends, it's a very difficult thing to be with another human. Very, very difficult. It's like a deal. It's like you're going to try to make it work. And if you try to make it work and you decide, well, let me see, my biological imperative is I must have children. And like, because that's, you know, we are egg-based people. And egg layers tend to take care of their eggs. Like chickens take care of their chicks. Like humans take care of their humans. And like we tend to take care of our babies. And is that the idea? Is that what your life is about? If you're a woman, is your life about having a baby? If you're a man, is your life about spilling your seed every way you can so that somebody has a baby? No, we know that's not true, because now as humans we're saying, no, we want the man to stay home. We want him to spill his seed in one place only. We want her to have a baby, and we want him to take care of her, and we want her to take care of the baby. And this is the relationship. Now it gets focused around the children. What happens to a beautiful, young, loving couple who, after they get to a certain point, they look at each other and they have a child, and they don't expect what's about to happen? And what happens? The child is keeping you up all night. You're not romantic anymore. Your smells change. You have baby dew all over the house. You have a whole different organic self. It's like you move into another world. But what a funny world to move into, having babies and having children, because it's beautiful. They give you so much reward. You know, whoever designed this system said you better make babies cute, because if they're cute, then at least the man will not mind losing his wife, and the wife will not mind losing her husband, because the baby will be so cute they'll pay attention to it, and they'll take care of it. So one of the things that we do is we try to pay attention to our children, trying to pay attention and give respect to each other as a couple. Very difficult. Very, very difficult. Usually you wait till the children grow up. And by most of that time, by the time 17, 18 years later when the kid goes off to school, by that time your relationship is so separate you two don't know how to get back together again. So this is pretty dismal here on the positive mind, but I'm saying it doesn't have to be that way. I'm saying, oh no, you could be in a growth place. You could be one of these people who say, I am going to make my relationship with myself, my priority, and my relationship with my mate, my priority. And that's going to be my utmost priority, but me first. I mean, if it doesn't work, I'm ready to leave. And if it does work, if it's not working, I'm going to try to make it work. Well, how do we do that? That takes so much stuff. You have to be able to identify what your needs are. I mean, how many of you, I had to give a lecture the other day, and it was a funny thing in a lecture hall. How many people were there, Stephanie? About 200 people? 200-300 people in the conference? And of the number of people in the conference, I asked, how many people here are having trouble with somebody in a relationship? And every hand shot up. After taking a survey, how many people know it's from WBAI? How many of you are having trouble with somebody in a relationship? Every hand went up. It's so easy to have trouble with relationships. It's so hard to know what you want. It's so hard to know what the other person wants. It's so hard to understand what's real and what's not real. Isn't it? Don't you sometimes want to cry trying to figure out how to make it work? Well, here's the deal, my friends, you know. The deal is that it's amazing when it works, but it's very difficult. Not as easy as you think. Should not be that simple. Sure, give me two very mentally healthy, well-organized people who are very comfortable, who get together, who have no real stressors, and maybe with no stressors on the outside and no negative history. Maybe it's easy for them. Maybe. But most people I see, it's not easy. Mostly in relationships, what happens to people is they settle. They start sleepwalking. It's like they go into a dream world. They're in a relationship, and then suddenly they kind of, not ignoring each other, but they're talking to each other as if they were two people in a play, not really connected. In between that, they may hold hands and say, hi, my soul says hello to your soul. But in between the words are just words that they pass through. And they settle. They have no unique needs. They become reasonable, rational people. They closely support each other. They watch each other's back. They take care of each other in sickness. Oh, let me get you some soup. Oh, let me do this for you. But the bottom line of it is, my friends, they don't have this real connection. Do they know who the other person is? Do you know who that person is? Sometimes they're so mysterious to you. Sometimes you can't understand them, and sometimes you listen to them, and they give you words, and they tell you things, but they don't even know what they're saying. If you have a man who's going through a great deal of stress at his job, and he's feeling inadequate, and he's feeling like he's just coming home, and he starts complaining about things, are you listening to his words? Do the words make a difference? Or do you go over to him? Do you put your arms around him? Do you give him a kiss and say, hi, honey, I see you're under stress? Well, if you're in the mood to deal with the words and you're not in the mood to do that, which is the simplest thing you could do with somebody like that, just make contact with them. But instead you start challenging them, you know, talking to them, asking them what's wrong. Sometimes it isn't about what people say, but it's about what people feel. How often have you known of being in a relationship with somebody where all you needed was a gentle contact? The sign was so obvious. You know why you don't get it? You don't get it because the other person doesn't want it either. When two people don't want it, that's when it stays separate. Otherwise, it's easy. It's very easy. The person gets very upset about something, and you say to them, oh, honey, I see you're very upset. You put your arm around them. Then you can talk about anything. As long as they feel that you're there for them, it really works. This is Armand DeMille with you with the Positive Mind. We're going to be taking your calls later today. I want to hear about your relationships and the challenges that you have. This thing happens with couples when they have children. Of course, it's like we had this biological imperative to have children. Now, keep in mind, this is no longer true. You've had too many children already. There are too many kids running around this planet who think that they were there because they're supposed to be there, according to the parents. The parents thought, well, what else could marriage be about, you know? It's not about us. We got to have babies, and we have an overpopulated planet with much too many babies in it in the first place. This rule that you must have babies is very questionable. Although people say my clock is ticking and I got to have a baby because that's my role in life. All right, maybe so, but maybe you want to challenge that also. But then what happens when you do have a baby and you have a relationship and you keep the relationship together around the child? What happens when the child leaves? When you have that empty nest, oh my gosh, everything falls apart. It's very difficult. What you're looking to do is have a smooth, kind of nice time. You want to feel safe, but here's what it requires. It requires a growth rather than a fixed mindset. What is a fixed mindset? A fixed mindset is, I am who I am, and that's the way I am, and that's the way I'm going to be, and I have no desire to challenge it. And if you push me up against my face, I'm going to defend myself and say, no, that's the way I am. A growth mindset is, well, I am as I am, but I'm willing to change. I'm willing to look at myself. I'm willing to see who I am. But not a nebbishy growth mind. There's a lot of guys running around who say, oh, I'm just a little boy, and, you know, I'm really sorry, and I'll do anything you tell me to do, and I'll just make myself whatever you want to make me into. Not that kind of mindset. The kind of mindset that says, I'm willing to challenge things about myself. I'm willing to look at this a little bit. I'm looking to see where it puts me. Maybe I'll feel differently about myself. Maybe I'll feel stronger. Maybe I'll feel better. Maybe I'll be more of a person yet. You know, it's kind of a wonderful thing about being humans. With our mind, I mean, I just got to tell you the excitement I had today doing my first Skype with people in the world who keep writing to us saying, I wish we could meet. We can now meet. And I said, how did this happen? How did this happen? And then I wondered to myself, what would it be like if somebody who writes to me from India, who's going to have a consultation with me, what should I have in my background? What are they going to see behind me? Should I be considerate of it? Should I wonder if there's going to be, you know, something out of whack or a shirt hanging over a door? Or should I have a kind of perfect background? And I started thinking about the appearance thing, and I said to myself, look at yourself. Look at yourself, Armand. It's all about being who you are. That's what people want. So what I think people want in relationships, I think people want to be who they are. I think they want to be real. I think they want to find a way of being real, but since most people don't know how to be real to themselves, they don't know how to be real with each other. They just know how to be reactionary. You know, you just react, you react, you react. And I would like to make it so that people don't just react, so that they can feel, you know, that they get a safe enough place, maybe two people growing. Now, here's what happens to you. If you get to a point where you start to find someone, or you start to feel like you really want to grow, and your partner can't grow with you, it's a tough decision. But where do you want to be? Do you want to be by yourself? Do you want to be with someone else? Do you want to be with yourself, with the integrity of yourself? Or do you want to be with someone else, giving away parts of yourself and being untrue? It's such a question. And you are all going to answer that when you call me today. When we get back from our break today, you're going to be calling me at 212-209-2900. That's 212-209-2900. We're going to be talking to you more about this and about you and about the question, you know, about the question of where is it real and where is it not real. And I don't know what real love is. I can't give you such a definition. I could just tell you that there is a place where you're alive and vibrant and you feel like yourself And there's another place where you go dead. And when you go dead on the inside and you can't really be who you are, you're not making it. And if you do that for the sake of the children, it's not working. It's just not working. Because if you do it for the sake of the children, you're going to be, the children are going to suffer. The children are going to see it, and then the children are going to ask the question, what is real? Is real what mommy and daddy do? Oh, there's daddy. He's off on his own. He doesn't come back till late at night. That's the way it is. There's mommy. She's at home. She takes care of me all the time. What is real? What is a relationship? A relationship is where daddy's never there and mommy's there all the time. That's what a relationship is. And that's how you grow up. And that's what you think a relationship's going to be. That makes sense, doesn't it? Of course you're going to think that. Or if you grew up with brutality, you think a relationship is where somebody hits somebody all the time. Like, I remember I was a kid and I went to camp and they hit us in camp. And I said, oh, yeah, we always got hit as kids. So that's the way it is. Kids get hit. Not the way it is. Love is not what you think it is. Love doesn't have these simple rules. The main thing that has a rule is you with you. So, and that's where it gets really tough. So think about your question. What is the question you've had about yourself in a loving relationship? Not what is the question you've had about them. The question becomes, what is the question you have about you? Just finding fault with other people, that's easy. But trying to find the pieces of yourself that possibly you can improve, the pieces where you might be able to just pick it up a little bit and make yourself a little better. That's the real stuff. Trying to find the questions that you don't understand about yourself. Why? Why after a year of being in a relationship do you find you can no longer be honest with your mate? Why after a certain period of time does this happen? What are the questions you have about yourself? Why is it that you just can't find yourself being as close to your mate as you are to your girlfriends? Or why is it that you can't have girlfriends? Why is it that you can't have friends if you're in a relationship? Why do you find yourself always in a position where somebody is jealous of you? Why do you find yourself always in a position where somebody is angry at you? Why is it that the people around you expect too much of you? Or they think you expect too much of them? Why are these? How did you make this happen? How did you create this? That's the only way you could ever ask the question. But when you ask it, my friends, this great thing happens. You start growing and you move out of the fixed spot into the growth mind spot. And life alone is far better than life in a fixed mindset where you're just stuck and you're just a little sleepwalking. This is Armand DeMille with you at the Pocket of Mind. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, a little music, and then we'll continue our program.
Hi, this is Lloyd Price, and you're tuned to WBAI New York. Listener-supported, non-commercial radio.
Okay.
Oh, no, Lord.
TalkBack is your gathering place for the free and fair exchange of information and ideas heard here Monday through Thursday from 3 until 5 in the afternoon. I'm Hugh Hamilton. Join me as we explore the issues and events making news across the nation and around the world with expert guests, insightful analysis, and, of course, your comments, questions, and observations. That's TalkBack right here on WBAI New York.
Stay, or is it just for the day?
Leonard Cohen from the Be For Real from the Future album. This is Armand DeMille with you at the Positive Mind here on WBAI. 99.5 FM on your dial. Bringing you ideas, concepts, and guests. You know, the question about romance? Such a big question. Such a big question because we make so many assumptions. The search for a life partner, the search for a safe place. There are so many assumptions about what this is supposed to be about. There's even that theory about the soulmate. I always thought that one was cute. You're looking for your soulmate, and here's the theory. The theory is that somewhere you are split into two parts, and that one part of you is male and one part of you is female. And that you spend your life looking for the other half of you. That's the idea. And when you find your soulmate, then you are finally connected to yourself and you become one whole person. Well, I've never seen that work. In fact, what I've seen work so many times is I remember a man who said he had so many different women, he would go out with so many different women. Every woman would say, "You're my soulmate." Every one of them would feel it. How could you be so many people's soulmate at once? But he was everybody's soulmate. Maybe he was the missing part of everyone. 212-209-2900. This is Armand DeMille with you, with WBAI 99.5 FM. We want to take your calls, but here are the questions we're asking. We really don't want to find fault with them. We want to find how you can become your own better person. What do you need? What do you need to do? Where do you have to go? 212-209-2900. Let's take one of your calls. This is Armand DeMille. Hi, you're on the air. 212-209-2900. Hi.
Hey, Armand. How are you?
I'm good. Who is this?
I'd rather not give my name if that's okay.
Sure.
Okay. Go ahead. Ask me anything you want because I don't know where to begin.
What's your name?
See, you're not my soulmate. You see that?
You see how do you like that? Well, make up a name for yourself.
How about Tony?
Tony's a good name. Okay, Tony, let me ask you something.
Go ahead.
Tony.
Yes.
Did you have a mean father?
No. Loving, supportive, always there, but a little distant.
Yeah,
but,
what?
You know, in retrospect, overall, was an amazing man, still is an amazing man.
But you couldn't get close to him.
As we got older, we did.
But when you were a kid.
Yeah.
So how did you get through life, Tony, knowing that you didn't really have your father there? Who did you trust?
You know what? I made friends. You make friends outside. You know, if there's something that's missing, you go and make it outside.
So that's what you did. You turned your friend, you took the missing father part of you, and you turned it into your friends outside, and you became friends, and you had friends outside.
Absolutely.
Did you trust your friends?
I did.
Yeah, it was a good thing for you.
Yeah.
So now, when it came to having relationships with people, right,
mm-hmm.
How did you know how to be a mate? Where did you learn how to become what a mate is?
Okay, this is the funny part. Right now, I happen to be in all those places that you said about love, honor, respect, everything. I'm in the best relationship ever, and it's 6 years now. I am blessed, and I really am. But it didn't come from just, you know, potluck or just doing something my doing. I had two long failed relationships and of almost 20 years. So, you know, doing wrong for so many years and just getting tired of being miserable, I started looking at what I need to do.
Oh, lucky you.
Yeah, so now the wonderful part about it is the reason I didn't want to give my name is because I don't want to be one of those people that jinx it. You know, you write a story about how great the relationship is, and next year you're divorced, you know?
Right, so you better not give it a name. So let me ask you something. What did you learn about the two relationships? What was wrong with you in the first two relationships? What did you keep doing wrong over and over again?
The first thing that I did is number one. Number one is I blamed the other person. Always blame. They had that in common. No matter what, I blamed them. And for 20 years together, it was them. It was them. It was always them.
Amazing, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's because you're a guy who likes to be in control.
Absolutely.
You're a guy who likes to be in control. You're a guy who likes to have, you know, your hands controlling everything. You like to control people's emotions, and so you want to control what goes on, and for 20 years, you like being in control, but the other person was always at fault.
Always. It was just the beginning for me, the beginning. And again, it's looking back now, so it's not wishful thinking. I am in an incredible, loving, respectful relationship now, the best I've ever had. Sometimes I wake up and I tell her that I hit girlfriend lotto, you know? but it all started with, number one, no more blaming. Everything is me. And also making my relationship with her the most important thing in my life.
More important than your relationship with yourself? That's a trick, because I know it's not true. I know you really believe your relationship with yourself is paramount, and that your relationship with her is the second most important thing in your life.
Okay, I agree with that.
I do too.
Absolutely. And I did that first, took care of myself, figured out what I wanted, what I needed, and then I went on to pursue a romantic relationship.
All right, so you learned a big trick, and you've learned something that's a good lesson for our people. It is very easy to look at the other person and say, it's your fault. It's all your fault why I'm distressed.
It's not even easy. I think it's in our DNA. And
controlling people especially are like that.
Yeah, and blaming, you know. I think, you know, what I did was I treated myself like if I was an alcoholic. And I said to myself, okay, if I am given room, I will have another drink. If I'm given wiggle room, I will have another drink. So what I did was I just looked at every moment with this person as what could I do? Like if we have a moment of problems, I looked at it, okay, what could I do now to make it better? And it didn't matter that I thought she was wrong because I had already been wrong for so many years and it never got me anywhere. You know, it never got me anywhere being right, rather. So it's kind of hard to explain so quickly, but it really did help me to give myself no wiggle room, no room for me to be wrong again. So I just assume in every situation, okay, even if I think she's wrong, what can I do to solve this situation? How can I put out this fire?
And it's more than put out the fire, too, because, you know, even if the person, let's say the person is bent out of shape about something. Let's say somebody takes steroids, and then they suddenly get angry with you. And you're looking at them get angry with you, and you're saying to yourself, wait a minute, this is not about the issue we're talking about. You could also challenge your mate, and you could just say, I'm going to be here. I don't believe what you're saying is true, but I'm going to stay right here and love you anyway.
I like the way you put it, and I do that.
I want to thank you very much for calling.
And, you know, you've been instrumental, too. You gave me a little bit of advice about a year ago.
What was that advice I gave you?
Well, what happened is she's a little younger than I am, right? And I called up, and I was kind of complaining about how she was a little immature, she was a little this, a little that. And you said, well, you know what? That comes with the territory. If you pick a young woman, what is it that you expect? And I always remember that, and you know what? It really helped me. And it's what I chose, it's who I chose, and it's part of the package. And you know what? I love her. I love her in spite of her flaws, and that's incredible. And she loves me in spite of my flaws.
Beautiful. You'll have to name the first one after me. Nice to talk to you.
Okay, on the first baby, I'm going to name the Positive Mind.
That's a nice name for a kid to walk around with, right?
Yeah.
What do they call him? Hey, Paz. Thanks for calling in. 212-209-2900. This is Armand DeMille speaking with the beautiful people at WBAI about love and about themselves and how they step up to the plate. Hi, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, Armand. How are you?
I'm fine. Who is this?
My name is Deborah.
Deborah?
Yes.
Hi, Deborah.
Hi. I've been listening to you for a while. This is the first time I've gotten to speak with you.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Relationships, it's more for me about the relationship with myself to keep trying to improve. I'm not in a relationship now. I have an ex, and we have a child together, and we get along okay now, not living together, not being in a relationship. And it's mostly I vacillate in my life between feeling stressed and disconnected and lonely, and then get in touch with the empowered part that tries to rise above. But
well, talk to me a little about that, would you, Deborah? I want to know the transition from loneliness to self. Is it that you get lonely and you feel alone? And you, what do you do? I mean, do you go crazy? Do you go to movies? Do you do drugs? Or do you say to yourself, I'm sad, I'm lonely, I'm going to be with myself, I'm going to see myself through this, and then the other you emerges? Which is the way it works? How do you get it to work?
More the second way. I have my son half time, and when I'm not being a middle-aged mama to a five-year-old. I have two parents who are in failing health, both in their 80s, so I'm in the sandwich caretaker position right now.
It's a lot of responsibility.
It is, and that's where a lot of the stress comes from, and the perimenopausal and trying to deal with all of it and stay healthy and remembering to take care of myself first, which is always, always a struggle. Always, because if a child is going to come first, or a mom who's 86 and has her issues is going to come first a lot of the time. It's hard to find the balance. So it's going out, no. Going out, movies and connectedness, no. That's what I need to try to start to do.
Wow, that's kind of amazing, Deborah. Because when you consider the burdens that sit on you from all the different directions, you could easily get locked into them and just feel sorry for yourself.
Depression is knocking, is pounding at the door all the time.
All the time.
Keep it at bay like the wolf. Keep it at bay. And most of the time, it can lay under the surface and it can be, all right, I can deal with this. It's a little sad. It's a little lonely. I wish it were different. But there are the moments when I take to be quiet or give myself, whether it's a hot bath or just call a friend and we talk, we connect, it's nice, that the self from a long time ago, the childhood self, the empowered, wonderful spirit that can, I can do anything. I can be whoever I want. I can achieve anything. I can help people. That starts to emerge. I get little glimpses and I say, oh, there she is. There she is. Yeah.
That's a beautiful thing. Well, I'm really glad. I don't know how you got there and how you learned to get there, Deborah, but whatever it is, you've given yourself the kind of gift that I've been talking to people about giving themselves. This is what people need, you know?
Well, some of it has been listening to you as much as I've been able to throughout the years. I rush home. I bring my boy to school at 1 o'clock. I set up the baby monitor in the house so when I'm driving back up from the car, walking from the car back into the house, I'm not even missing anything before the first musical break. So,
isn't that great?
I try to read. I have friends I talk to. I have a little support network, thank God. But, you know, it's a struggle. It's a struggle. A lot of times it's very, very hard. But, you know, we all stop putting one foot in front of the other. You got to keep going.
Well, it's not just putting one foot in front of the other. You have what we call a growth mindset. You have a set, you have a mind that wants to grow, you know? It's a mind that wants to keep growing. It's beautiful, Deborah.
An amazing reservoir of strength. I keep feeling that it's gone, it's empty, it's gone, and guess what? There's more.
And there's more.
That's amazing. Armand, thank you so much for what you do. You are just beloved and wonderful, and just blessings to you.
Deborah, thank you so much.
Thank you.
212-209-2900. Let's take another call. This is Armand DeMille. Hi, you're on the air.
How you doing, Armand? This is Ron.
Hello, Ron.
I have a special one for you. I'm a gay black man, and one of my issues with myself is trying to stay connected to my feeling. Because there's two male energies, sometimes the ego can get really in relationships, like, wow. You know, so I just wish...
Now, when you say that, let me ask you something, Ron. When you say that, you mean sometimes there's a part of you that's like a gorilla. It's like an alpha male. You say, this is not what a man should be.
Right.
Right? And then there's this other part of you that says, oh, come on, gorilla, would you go to sleep? I'm like that myself. Sometimes I feel that way. Sometimes I feel this reaction that just says, you know, I shouldn't be that way. And then there's other part of me that looks at that and talks to it and says, what are you doing?
Because this I was raised by straight parents. And so this idea that you have to follow about relationships, so you get these ideas from straight parents, and they don't understand the gay part, so they understand that, but you kind of understand this, so you sort of mirror relationships from that, which you was raised, and it can be confusing. So when you had the issue with the men, I wish sometimes you could, when it comes to black gay men, you could have something on that. But when you had the issue,
all right,
the thing with the men, it really helped me because I always felt that my feelings was the most honest part of me, but when I look outside, especially being a man, you have to throw those away and work from somewhere else, something else that's been put on you that you're working from, but you know it's not real. But until you stop and try to connect back with that feeling inside, this is when you know the other one is not real, so you try to stay there and work from there and let that evolve. So that's where I'm at.
Well, Ron, tell me something. Hold on a second, because I think you're doing something very important here. What is the aspect of the black gay man that doesn't normally get covered when we talk about this?
It's weird. Even when we tell about it, it's always this macho, super strong, strong black man. And that's where you got to stay. That's where you got to work from. You work from that end, there's no pulling to in the middle part.
Now, are you talking as a black gay man who relates to gay black men, or a black gay man who relates to either white or black men?
Relates to people in general.
In general, right? But you're always expected because you're black, to be the masculine.
And even in relationships where you meet, especially, to be honest, especially like, because I've dated white males too, and it's this thing that if you're not living up to this strong, super macho thing, it's like, oh, so you're not really being this black man. And my inside, I mean, even, you know, especially in the black neighborhood, it's like, you got to be, you really strong. And so it's like, I said, well, where do I go to get to dump the garbage? Which inside I kind of know is garbage because, you know, your feelings inside, you have them to yourself and you see them. So it's like, where do I go to dump this garbage? And really, there's really no hearing you. It amazes me because... Oh, you wasn't talking about gay men's issues, but what you was talking about, I can relate to with the men part because we still have those. But then at the same time, we have this other thing going on inside, and there's really no that many people you can go to because it's like either hide that part. If it's there, hide it. Be yourself, but still hide that. So then you confuse it. Be myself and hide it. So that's putting me back where I'm trying to get away from. So when you spoke about those feelings, when I allowed myself to become more in touch with that, which I knew was in there, it started opening up a lot of things for me and removing a lot of so-called garbage that I understood and didn't understand because I could feel a lot of stuff being lifted. But I wish there were more places where a person like me, especially black and gay, because it's sort of different, can go in here to relieve some of this. You know, I feel like I'm blessed to be able to hear you. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
Because it has helped.
Sure.
And I wish I can hear a little more where...
Okay. Okay, Ron, I hear your call. We're going to do more on that.
And I thank you so much.
Sure. Thanks so much for calling in.
Bye.
Why, and it is more about stereotypes. It's amazing. He's a beautiful man, huh? Well, this is Armand DeMille with you at The Positive Mind. I feel so grateful to be with you people. Because you share your hearts in such a beautiful way. But remember, if you have to make your own exits, you make your exits when you have to, my friends. Sometimes you could just stay with it so long. Other times you got to just find another way. I'll be back with you next week, Tuesday, at 1 p.m. with more programming. Maybe I'll just let this go with a little Billie Holiday. And if you want to go to thepositivemind.com, you could find the website. And if you want to send me an email, do. And if you're a Skype person, let me know.
Shadow.
There isn't much time, Mary. They're coming after you to take you to the chair. Speak quickly.
What have you to say?
Just this. For the best in old-time radio thrills, adventure, and comedy, tune in to the Golden Age of Radio, 7 to 9, Sunday nights, right here on WBAI New York.
To all of my single mamas out there, gotta go to work, you gotta pay the bills, and you're keeping it real, I don't know how you do it.
The South Bronx is the birthplace of hip-hop and the poorest congressional district in the nation, where negative statistics on women are staggering. In its third annual International Working Women's Day program, Casa Adabex Ache and Mama's Hip-Hop Kitchen present a women of color's response to faith, feminism, and hip-hop, recorded live at Hostos Community College in the Boogie Down Bronx. This Saturday from 2:30 to 4 p.m., The Cutting Edge will present excerpts from the event featuring Bombayo, the Three Times a Lady crew, Nene Ali, Queen Goddess, La Bruja, Miss Noma, Patty Dukes, Bless Roxwell, La Terre, and many, many more. That's this Saturday from 2:30 to 4 p.m., over listener-sponsored non-commercial radio WBAI New York City.